Well, my next guest has had a tremendous year producing and mixing music. Chris Barnett, better known as CB Mix, has become one of the hottest hip-hop producers in town. He's not only produced the track Mixtape on Chance the Rapper's Coloring Book, but he's also been producing Chief Keef. The producer and DJ grew up in the northwest suburbs in Streamwood. He started his career jumping from studio to studio, working as an hourly sound engineer. But today, his credits include all the big names in hip-hop, including Chance, Vic Mensa, Chief Keef, Lil Bibby, Lil Yachty, and of course, his work with the Chop Squad here in town. CB Mix, welcome to The Download. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to meet you. You know, I feel like we rarely get to get a chance to talk to the artists behind the board as opposed to ones in front. Talk about how you got involved in this, because hip-hop wasn't, I mean, you're from the northwest suburbs. Talk about how you first got involved in music.
Well, I've always been into music, playing instruments, trying to start a band since as soon as I picked up a guitar. Couldn't find a good band, so I just started recording vocals and kind of got into that.
So you were looking to start a band. What kind of music?
Oh, like grunge rock, alternative rock, something like that.
Yeah. What years are we talking, like the 90s for you, like 2000s?
99, 2000, 2001. Yeah.
So, I mean, what brought you down to Chicago? I mean, to be in the northwest suburbs, you couldn't find a band, so you said, let's go down here and start working in sound?
Yeah, I started off in jumping from studio to studio, and as you know, building the network, hourly recording and all that. It was just a no-brainer. At some point, I had to move to Chicago, so I had an opportunity to moved to Wrigleyville, and I opened up a studio at the Music Garage Chicago, and it all took off from there.
Well, talk about when you talk about going hourly to hour, like what that means. I mean, because a lot of people may not know that. They may know that, you know, there's different engineers, and of course, but a lot of the work is done in Chicago, especially for sound engineers, is done late night hours or
yeah, it's always been late night hours.
Yeah, like how does it work? I mean, it's not a 9-to-5 kind of profession.
No, you got to kind of, especially starting off, you got to take what you can get. So hourly recording engineer, I got to do what you tell me to do. But now at this point, I kind of could spread out and do what I want to do and work with who I want to work with. So that's what's different with my situation.
How did you get into hip-hop? What was it about hip-hop that drew you to it? And talk about your first run-ins with the hip-hop crew that you're producing these days.
Good question. I don't know. I just, in high school, I knew a lot of hip-hop artists. I was linking up with a lot of producers and rappers, and I was just really fascinated with making music.
Yeah.
Making beats, recording vocals.
When you were the work in Wrigleyville, when you set up your shop, talk about who was coming through when you finally got to a spot where you were putting, you know, you had your own place, your own studio.
Well, that's where I lived. I had I moved my studio out here to the West Loop, on like the near West Loop or something, Music Garage Chicago, and I was there for a few months, and I couldn't take the commute anymore, so I had to move out to Chicago. I got a spot in Wrigleyville. But I just had a monthly rental at the Music Garage, set up some studio gear, and started making connections and getting to work. It was right around the time I quit my regular 9-to-5 and got to making music full-time.
Was that hard to make a transition from getting rid of the 9-to-5 to making music? I mean, what goes into going after a career in music producing?
Oh, I'd say it was definitely very hard, because it seems like a job that everybody wants. So in order to stay ahead, you got to work every single day, every minute of every day. I got to always be accessible. If you call, message, any hour of the day, I gotta respond and get the money in the door. So it was definitely very hard, especially being in Chicago. There's a lot of competition.
Is there a lot? I mean, I don't know much about the studio scene, and I think about the legend. How much did you know coming in? Because I think of some of the bands. I think of the grunge bands of the 90s or the alt-rock bands, whether it be Smashing Pumpkins or Veruca Salt. There's a famed story where Penny's Noodles is in Wicker Park, that used to be a studio above there. How much do you as a sound producer or sound engineer in town pay attention to the history of the studios that have been here?
I hear a lot about it, but unfortunately there's not very much left here in the city.
Really?
There's definitely a lot more going on in LA when it comes to like historical studios or stories that I hear about. I mean, I want to know everything I can, but unfortunately here in Chicago, I don't hear too much about that kind of stuff.
CB Mix in studio, Chris Barnett, who is a sound producer and sound engineer who mixes and produces. He actually produced a track Mixtape on Chance the Rapper's Coloring Book. He's also producing Chief Keef. I mean, Chicago has obviously become the epicenter of the hip-hop world, and some of the names I've just been throwing around, whether it be Chance or Vic Mensa or Chief Keef, they have become bigger than just Chicago. Talk about how you met. Why don't we start with how did you meet Chance the Rapper? Like, what, as a sound engineer, how does that happen? And then take us through how do you get to a point where you actually get to produce on his record?
Well, when I moved out to when I moved the studio to the Music Garage, January 2011, Chance, Vic, and my homie Greg, and the rest of the band, kids these days, they had a rehearsal spot right down the hall. So that's how I built my relationship. We were just both in the same building all day, every day, working on our own stuff. And it, from time to time, it would overlap. So I was lucky to be able to build that relationship pretty early on.
And there is rehearsal room, and they're just in there working on music, and you're working on your own music, but the fact that you guys see each other in the hallway?
Yeah, we were kind of like coworkers, I guess you could say.
Yeah, right? I mean, but how does it work when you're a sound engineer? I mean, are there times where like, hey, we could use your services? Hey,
Yeah, we were always linking up at random times and just doing little stuff here or there.
Yeah. I mean, is that similar to how it works with most musicians? I mean, is it the idea that it's that kind of casual relationship, or is each musician different?
I'd say everyone's different, but as long as you're open to any opportunity to work and network with people that you cross paths with, you never know what it could lead to, and I sure didn't back in 2011.
I mean, even, I think 2011, and I as predates, I mean, that's, you think about it, that I guess that predates even Chance's acid rap and possibly, and surf and everything after that. I mean, what did you think of the crew, you know, the crew that you're hanging out with? I mean, did you think they had talent? I mean, was this a...
I definitely thought they had talent. Yeah? I mean, it was a room full of musicians and creative people, vocalists. It was just amazing to be around so many people that had similar interests to me. So it really helped me excel.
As a sound engineer, can you tell? Can you, I mean, you point out right away a musician who's got more talent than the other? I mean, can you figure it out just from being in the room based on the talent that they've got in front of you?
Yes and no. I mean, sometimes you never know what's going to take off, and other stuff that you could pour your heart and soul into and think it's the best in the world and won't ever do anything.
Right.
So it's really hard to say.
All right. Well, we talked about Chance, the other artist that you work closely with, Chief Keef. Talk about that relationship. How did you meet Keef, and how did you get to a point where you were helping him not only set up his house, but produce on his stuff?
I met Keef through Young Chop, my good friend Young Chop, who was Keef's original producer for all his biggest records. Just being a producer and engineer in Chicago, it was only a matter of time before I linked up with Chop. He always needed work done. And we built a really powerful relationship. We did a lot of work together, starting in about 2012, right when Keef blew up. So it took a little while for me to build that relationship with Keef. 2013, we did a record called Decline that did pretty well with Chief Keef and Lil Durk. And one day he just called me when he moved into a new house, freaking out because his Pro Tools system didn't work. It was the first time I spoke to him personally ever. He just called me like, yo, I need you to come out here and fix my Pro Tools setup. I was like, all right, just let me know. And he called me back. He's like, all right, your flight's booked. It leaves at 7 a.m. the next morning. So I was out of there, and I just showed up at his house.
And set it working. Up. Yeah. And I read an article about that, too, because that changed a lot of the way that Keef produced his music, because now he had a setup in his house. He didn't have to go to studios. I mean, you came in and set it up, and it changed the way that he actually approached his own music.
Yeah, definitely. It definitely helped out a lot when you could be at home and comfortable and just work whenever the inspiration strikes.
You know, for you, when I think about, you know, the, like you just mentioned, I mean, being around Young Chop and other producers, I mean, do you get to a certain point where does it blow your mind when something like that has happened? Like when the record comes out and Chief Keef is blowing up and it's bigger than anyone anticipated or expected. I mean, as a sound engineer and a producer on that stuff, I mean, is it just a roller coaster ride?
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it. I guess it's a lot of ups and downs, but, you know, I make a lot of music. I'm working on a lot of stuff, and it's the greatest feeling in the world when something touches the whole world like that, when it gets that big. Yeah. So it's almost indescribable.
You know, for you, and I think about the world, and I have so many questions about the art and the skill that goes into being a producer and a sound engineer. You know, for you, talk about the evolution of starting out wanting to get into this, like you said, like when recording vocals because you couldn't find a band that you wanted to work with, to where you are today? I mean, is it a constant evolution of learning and sort of learning new tricks of the trade?
Yeah, I'd say for the past 10 years, it's evolving very, very fast. You got to stay on top of all the new software and hardware that's coming out, because if you even fall behind for a day, that means the rest of the competition is a day ahead of you. So I've always made it a priority to learn anything and everything new that comes out. Any software, VSTs, hardware, you got to stay on top of everything.
Chris, you're in a situation where you kind of straddle both worlds, because you, when you started in the business, it was still a little bit more of the, I don't want to say analog, we already moved to a digital world, but you were a little bit more of the traditional way that you'd record music. And then the other foot was in the way that, that software, and you mentioned hardware and software, has advanced in the way that people can just set up in their bedrooms. They don't necessarily, there's so much, it's become so much easier to record and produce music. I mean, talk about that. Is it help you that you've been there for both worlds?
Yeah, definitely. I guess you could say it's a blessing and a curse. It's very attainable to make good sounding music out of your bedroom with only a few $100 nowadays, to where 15, 20 years ago, you needed a few $1,000 to get a few hours of studio time, if anything, to get something
right,
done.
Right. I mean, and does that, but does it help you from your art standpoint that you understand the way it was done before?
Oh yeah, definitely. I try to approach everything with, a fundamental understanding of how they used to do it, because even nowadays with all the digital stuff, it's all derivative from all the analog stuff. So by talking to the older, more experienced guys that I know close to me, I'm able to stay grounded and know why stuff is done how it's
right,
done, I guess
right.
You could say.
You, when I'm throwing out all these terms that I hope I'm using in the right way, but I mean, sound engineer, producer, and mixer are all three different jobs. I would assume at a certain point there's the operator, there's the producer who's actually trying to get what they need to get out of the sound and the artist, and then there's also the final product of actually putting it all together. Is there one area that you like better than another?
I'd say producing. Producing and composing is probably my favorite.
How does that work? I mean, it's funny because I just watched the Defiant Ones was talking about that on a show not too long ago about Jimmy Iovine and the idea of what it means to be a producer, this concept of like your sound, your style, you know, what you want to, you have to push the artist, but at the same time, you have to back off. Like you have to work together to get the right energy. I mean, what is it? What makes a CB mix production?
I attack it from all angles. Putting creative input on everything I possibly can. Compose the music, arrange it, record the vocals. You got to create an environment where the vocalist could be really comfortable and open and try new ideas quickly. And then know when to give criticism. Don't overdo it. Don't underdo it. That's kind of like the role of a producer, I guess you could say.
Yeah, right. And I would think that, I mean, you're talking about big egos. I mean, these are guys that the artists are successful and they know what they want to do and they might want to go one way and you're trying to get something else. So how do you deal with that when you're in a creative, collaborative environment with someone who's got a lot of ego?
You just got to know exactly what to say and exactly when to say it. And you got to keep it short and sweet and the timing has to be perfect. But I can make you do exactly what I want you to do without you even knowing it, just by saying the right thing at the right time.
Your kid from Streamwood, white kid from Streamwood, dealing with African Americans like Chief Keef and Chance the Rapper. I mean, and Lil Yachty, and I think a Lil Bibby. I mean, are there ever times when artists come in and go, "This is my guy, this is my producer. Who's this guy?" But I mean, you have the chops, and it's amazing to think about the sound that you produce and that you put together, even in tracks like Mixtape, that defy that stereotype.
I guess early on, I kind of got that a little bit, but the work kind of speaks for itself. And being a hourly recording engineer at first, I really just learned how to run a business, I guess you could say. Like talk to people, get to the point, get the money in and out the door, and keep everybody happy. And then by repeating that over and over again, eventually people started to realize that I do good, fast work. And it was no question after that.
Do you have to push yourself? I mean, as art, especially being in the epicenter of Chicago with hip-hop and it becoming the most... think about it in the hip-hop world, Chicago's at the epicenter of it. Do you have to push yourself to change that sound, to push that sound, to try new things? Because what we heard in Coloring Book, even Mixtape, the track you did, is different than the stuff that we heard on some of the Chief Keef stuff. But, I mean, how do you evolve as an artist?
You just got to stay working and try everything. You definitely can't get comfortable. You got to push the boundaries and come up with new ideas and try new weird things. I might spend all day trying to do something new and weird, and nothing will work or stick, but it'll get me one day ahead to know that what doesn't work. But yeah, the sound evolves very, very quickly. So you got to stay on top of that. And if you get all the way to the top, the forefront, then you could be the producer that's setting the new wave, the new sound that's going to come out. So I think I'm inching right up there, and especially with the people I'm working with, hopefully I could take it there.
It's really great. I mean, I think about all the producers that are in Chicago that are working and getting an opportunity to do things. Do you think that, and I always ask this of the artists that come through, and they say, you know, talk about what it means to be from Chicago, when it becomes to be a Chicago rapper or Chicago MC, whatever, what have you. What does it mean to be a Chicago producer? I mean, or an engineer? The idea of being here in Chicago, not having to go to LA, and being able to produce these tracks that are played hundreds of thousands of times, if not millions. And what does it mean to you to be a Chicago producer?
Well, Chicago is my home. I did a lot of traveling and I worked all over the country, but I always longed to come back to Chicago. There's definitely a lot more work and a lot more people out in LA, for example. But Chicago is a lot smaller than people think, especially when it comes to people doing music. And before you know it, you're going to rub shoulders with everybody. So this is where all my friends and family is. So I guess that's what it means to me.
You know, for you, I mean, do you see a future where it's not just hip-hop? Where, I mean, you've had such success with the hip-hop artists, but do you see a way of going back to the grunge roots that you were looking for in the late 90s?
I have definitely. I'm most successful in the hip-hop realm, but I do a lot of bands. I do house music, R&B, pop music. I got an artist, Nick Bean, that I'm doing pop music with, an artist, Sheree Hicks. I do a lot of house music with. I got 3 days booked in the studio with a jazz band next week. So I do a lot of interesting stuff, but you might not hear about it if you don't pay attention too closely.
Go. Chris Barnett, and also known as CB Mix, the pride of Streamwood. One of the hottest producers in hip-hop, working with artists like Chance, Vic Mensa, Chief Keef, Lil Bibby, Lil Yachty, Chop Squad. I mean, just to name a few. Chris, CB Mix, thanks so much for coming in, talking about your life behind the board in Chicago music.
Definitely. Thank you.